Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL analyst Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team back with us. Steve, the Browns made another trade this morning. Greg Newsome, a name we all know, goes out the door. A guy from the Jags comes into Cleveland. Did the Browns get better or worse with this trade?
I think it was it's a pretty even deal, I think, on both sides. The advantage the Browns get here is the extra Campbell already paid signed his contract, his second contract. And so he's tied up for a few years. And, you know, when you trade for someone who's already signed, the Jags have already paid the signing bonus, essentially. That's where all their dead money comes from. So the Browns might get a bit of a bargain, I would say, over the next couple of years relative to maybe what they would have paid Newsome. So I think that's where they're trying to why they made that move, maybe a better scheme fit for Campbell with the Browns. And then, you know, Cleveland – the Deshaun Watson thing was so bad on so many different levels. Cleveland had a decent roster a couple of years ago, but because of the lack of draft picks and the lack of money flexibility the last couple of years, they've lost a lot of depth. So I think the Browns getting someone who's locked up long-term, getting the extra draft picks that they've gotten, they're really trying to think toward the future. And I think that's where that move makes sense for the Browns to bring Tyson Campbell in.
Steve, what were your overall impressions of Dylan Gabriel in his first NFL start?
I thought he was fine. I thought it looked like the Browns were treating him like a rookie, treating him like it was his first start. It was very run-heavy, a lot of Quinshon Judkins. I thought Judkins looked good as a runner. And then most of the pass game was play action, get him out of the pocket, you know, screen game. So I thought they took care of him as far as, you know, playing as a rookie. I thought he made a couple nice throws down the field, could have been better there. But I thought it was a conservative year, game one type of game plan for Dylan Gabriel.
All right, Steve, I know you love to do this. You guys watch all the tape, and you graded for years and all that, so put your X's and O's cap on. Here comes the Browns with this defense, and they love to put personnel on the field to stop the run. So, if you're sitting in those Steelers meeting rooms this week offensively, are you going to go back to that jumbo package well that they used against the Vikings with the extra tight, with the extra offensive lineman and Darnell Washington, or do you say, you know what, they put all these run people on the field, all these big people, let's spread them out and throw the ball on them with a bunch of wide receivers and tight ends who function as wide receivers? What would your strategy be?
I like the idea of spreading the throw against the Browns. They'll play a little bit more man coverage. I thought Rodgers did a really nice job at the line of scrimmage against the Vikings. So it's a different type of system that they're facing, but the same idea. The Vikings can pressure you from all angles. The Browns can pressure you with their front four, maybe as well as any team in the league. But they're going to play a lot more man, the Browns. So I would start to lean on DK Metcalf as more of a downfield threat. I know they had a couple more, you know, vertical type routes for him last week, but I think this is where you lean into Aaron Rodgers. He's still very accurate in one-on-one situations when you do play man against him. I think it's a DK Metcalf type of game. You know, trust him, get the back shoulder game going, get him isolated one-on-one. But just still, the thing that needs to be similar to the Vikings game plan is getting rid of the ball quickly. I mean, the Browns' pass rush is fierce, and it's not just Myles Garrett now. Their defensive tackles are creating a lot of havoc, defensive ends on the other side. So I think they're doing a really good job, the Browns, of creating pressure with their front four, and it's going to be on the Steelers to spread it out, get those one-on-ones, and let Rodgers use his pinpoint accuracy that I think he still has in him, especially when he gets one-on-one.
How much of a viable strategy, though, is it, Steve, to try to neutralize Garrett, to do the old classic run the ball right at the guy? If you've got a vicious pass rusher on the other end, line everybody up and make him defend the run? Because I would still want to try to do that with him, even with how good their run defense is.
I mean, I think you always have to do that a little bit. I mean, one of the game plans that always stood out to me was the Chiefs against the Niners a few years ago when the Chiefs didn't have the best playmakers, but Andy Reid was just cooking, trying to slow down Nick Bosa. And it was like Nick Bosa was running in a circle the entire game. So you always have to mix it up. And what the Chiefs did that game is they'd run a screen, then they'd run a draw or some sort of, you know, shotgun run play. Then they'd run at him. Then you run away from him. Then you take your shot down the field and you triple team him or whatever it is. So they did a really good job of keeping Bosa. That was just the one that stands out. So I think you always have to mix it up and be smart with it. You throw a screen behind him. You slow down the pass rush. That way you run at him, run away from him. So I think you always have to mix it up, and that does make a lot of sense to slow down a guy like Garrett.
Steve, one of the big topics here is the Steelers' tight end room. And Pat Freiermuth, who they gave a lot of money to, played a career-low 15 snaps against the Vikings. He's got a cap hit of around $11 million with multiple years left on the contract. And a quarter of the way through the season, he's got 7 catches for 65 yards. If you had a tight end making that kind of money and you were the GM of the Steelers, how would you view that?
I mean, I think he'd be a bigger part of the offense. I still think he's a very good player. I know there's always been some Jonnu Smith love from Arthur Smith, and I know Darnell Washington's just a monster extra offensive tackle type, but I would use Freiermuth. I mean, the Steelers are in another interesting spot. Like, how many years are we sitting here 5 to 10 weeks into the season saying, yeah, the underlying metrics aren't great, but they're winning games, and this one's, you know, negative point differential, but they're still, you know, still winning games. They're still 3-1 and looking to be 4-1. That's great, but I don't think the offense has been that good. So you still want to get more out of this offense, and I think Freiermuth can help that. I would use him more as part of the offense.
Steve, a lot of Steelers fans are projecting that, hey, the Browns might be tough, but the Steelers should win this game. The Browns have literally only won one game in Pittsburgh since Tomlin took over. It was the playoff game in 2020. And then they're saying, okay, 4-1 can get the Bengals even on a short week because they're in disarray, 5-1. How much better or more dangerous do you think the Bengals got when they acquired Joe Flacco?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not that much more dangerous. I think, yeah, look, Jake Browning, I thought, put together some decent games in 2023. He was showing no signs of doing that. I think what Joe Flacco brings to the table is at least the possibility that he could put together some decent games and at least get the ball. I mean, he might throw some picks, but at least get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and let them work, because the Bengals still have excellent playmakers, even the receivers and tight ends beyond Chase and Higgins. So, slightly more dangerous, but, you know, Joe Flacco is still working behind one of the worst pass-blocking offensive lines. He can't move. It's not like you're going to trust him in a game where he's getting pressured 40% of the time, but that's probably what they're facing. But I think they stumble into a couple good passing attack, you know, passing weeks with Flacco, which, you know, Browning looked like he had no chance of pulling that off at this point.
Brutal honesty there from Steve. I like that. The odds makers here at the River still think the Ravens are the favorites to win the AFC North. Do you agree with that, Steve?
It's really tough. I mean, last year at this time, the Rams were 1-4, and they didn't look as bad as the Ravens are right now, but, you know, people forgot about the Rams, and then they go on a run. Teams can go on runs. I think the Ravens' defense should be better, even with their injuries. Like, once they get healthy, they shouldn't be as bad as they've been. And, of course, Lamar Jackson and that offense, they can, you know, play as, like, one of the best offenses in the league. We've seen it. So, yeah, I think the Ravens can absolutely go on a run, but they're in a hole now. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be favorites after this week. If the Rams go in there and win, they head to the bye, they try to get Lamar Jackson back, they might be in too big of a hole, especially if the Steelers do win those next two games over a four-day period. That's going to make it really difficult. But I get why they do that. I mean, I get it's a long season. The Ravens have a track record of playing much better football, but I think they're running out of time to be considered the favorites in the division.
Steve, after the Yankees bounced your beloved Red Sox and the Reds were here and then gone, how much delight did you take in Vlad Jr. just destroying them single-handedly and then going, "The Yankees lose"?
The complex that we had in Boston before that first World Series, the local radio announcers wouldn't even celebrate the Red Sox winning. They would have Yankee elimination parties. They would have a party on the like, – that was the type of complex that they had in Boston in the 90s and into the early 2000s, Yankee elimination parties. So it still feels good to watch the A's. As long as the Yankees don't win, I'm good. I got to watch four Red Sox World Series over the last 20-plus years here. So, yeah, it felt good to watch the Yankees get bounced.
Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.